I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, allaussieradio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, then we've got three guests. We kick off with Mick from LD Campspot.
That's correct. And then we go to Jeff Dieth, and he's talking about fifth wheelers.
That's correct. And then straight after that, we're chatting with a lone traveller. Her name's Carol, and she's travelling and living in a fifth wheeler.
That's correct.
Very interesting discussion that was. But before we do any of that, Lynn, what I want to do is I want to start with a song because we've got a lot of listeners at LD at the camp spot.
Right.
And I want to play a song for Mick's sister Tracy.
Okay.
Now, Mick's sister Tracy's requested this particular song, and it's been requested a number of times by various people who do go to the LD camp spot. So the song that I want to send out to Tracy and all those other lovely people at LD camp spot is a song by Sherbet, and it's a number called How's That?
Oh, How's That? Yep.
How's That? So, Lynn, apart from these great chats and this wonderful song about to come up, what do you think, Lynn?
On with the show.
G'day, listeners. This is Phil C, and you are on Roman Oz, and I'm in Carlton at the LD campsite, or campground. Speaking to the owner, Mick, how are you going today, Mick?
Good, Phil. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm having a great time here. The weather's been a bit up and down, though. What do you think?
Very ordinary, but we've got the fires going. She's all good.
It is. You've got a fabulous fire outside there, and expecting a lot of people around for happy hour later.
Generally, that's
the play. Now, mate, tell us a little bit about this fabulous place of yours, Eldy. When did you buy it? How long ago?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
And what made you buy it? What was it? What was the? Because it's how many acres, first of all?
88 acres.
So 88 acres. That's a lot of ground. What did you envisage when you thought, oh, I think I might like to buy this piece of ground?
Well, did a year travelling around Australia and thought I'd like to start a campsite. He wanted bush camping, but with really nice facilities.
Yep.
So he bought the property, which is a nice bushy block, and built some nice facilities, and here it is now.
Absolutely fantastic too. I've got to say, for the benefit of all the listeners, you've got 88 acres, obviously not 88 acres of camping, but you've got some great bushwalks through some of this 88 acres, haven't you?
Yes, we have, and lots of wildlife.
Yeah, and lots of wildlife. So lots for the people to see and do. And before you did this, what did you actually do? Because have you managed caravan parks or campgrounds? What's your background, Mick?
No, I'm plasterer by trade and still do plastering during the day and do this of an afternoon.
Where do you get the time? Seriously, because, I mean, we've been here now. This is probably our third day, and I don't think I've seen you stop.
Oh, that's what I do on a long weekend, but while I'm not here during the day, my sister helps out and my kids help out. So.
Fantastic. Yes. Absolutely brilliant. So 88 acres, you've got how much room for campers? Because it is a campsite. How many do you get in normally?
Comfortably have 100 people here at a time.
Yeah.
I've been up to 300, which gets a little bit too busy for the amenities to cope with, but that's just what we do if everyone else is booked out because we've got the room to put them in.
Fabulous.
Generally 50 to 100 is pretty comfortable.
That's great. Now, I just want to point out for the benefit of the listeners, it is a campsite, so you don't have power. You really have to be self-contained.
That's right, yeah.
Yep.
No powered sites. We just have power in the camp kitchen and toilets, etc. But
now, this camp kitchen, I've got to tell you, listeners, it's like a kitchen. It's like a huge kitchen in someone's home. It's big. You got a full-size stove in here, microwave, toaster. You got a cupboard full of pots and pans and amenities. Beautiful log fire, big screen TV, and fabulous comfortable seating. So, I mean, anybody's welcome. Obviously, any of the guests, they're all welcome to use this.
Yeah, it's not really camping, is it?
It's not really camping, is it? I mean, have you ever come here and found somebody asleep with a beer in their hand? Because it's pretty cosy in here.
Very regularly.
Because I've got to tell you, people, we're actually in the camp kitchen at the moment having a chat and very, very snug in here, mate. Very snug. Now, you've also got a fabulous big dam on your property, which is that a lot of the camps can be right around the camp, around the dam. So how big's the dam? What would you say off the top of your head?
Oh, it's about 70 metres across, 70 or 80 metres across.
Okay.
Yeah, so on high tide.
Yep, on high tide. And how deep is it?
About 6 metres deep in the middle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. So it's a good swimming hole when the weather's warm enough.
It is. Come Australia Day, there's always 30 to 50 people in there swimming around, floating around on their
floaties or on their little kayaks. And you've got like a pontoon there that sort of stretches out. I guess the kids could jump in off that if they wanted to cool off. Then
they can, yeah.
They can just jump in there. Now, I've got to ask you, are there any fish in there? Because I've seen a couple of the kids throwing fishing lines in there. I don't know if they're just practicing, but have you got any fish in there?
There's a couple of rainbow trout in there, but it does need restocking. Okay. The numbers are a bit low at the minute.
All right. So you are intending to put more trout in there?
Yeah, we'll get it restocked shortly. Yeah.
Okay. And guests, they're allowed to fish in there and maybe catch a rainbow trout?
Yeah, as long as they use barbless hooks and give them a kiss and send them back.
Give them a kiss, like the great Rex Hunt. Give them a kiss and let them go. And release fishing, no charge for that?
No charge for that.
All part and parcel of your deal. So let's talk about charges here for a moment. Like, how much is it to stay? What's your fees?
It's $15 per adult per night
and
$8 per child per night.
Okay.
Unless they're little babies, they're pretty free.
Pretty free. All right. And what else do you do for them? Because you've got the camp kitchen. You're stoking up a big fire there for happy hour. So I suppose you regularly try and get your campers involved in happy hour and sit around the fire and tell a few yarns. And
yeah, I like coming in and spin a few yarns around that fire pit.
Yeah. And in here you've got a lot of international flags on your wall here in the camp kitchen. Do you get a lot of international travellers?
Yes, heaps.
Heaps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they come in just quite regularly most nights.
Yep.
Just drive in, come about 5 or 6 o'clock when they finish touring.
Yep.
Rock in.
Yep.
Come in and cook feed in the camp kitchen, and they like to look up and see if they can see their country on the flag board.
Absolutely brilliant idea. Because I suppose it makes them feel really warm and welcome when they stare up there and they see their own flag up there.
Yeah, it does. And there's a lot of them.
I don't recognise half of them, so, yeah. And apart from that, like backpackers, they're usually driving around in these little whiz-banger vans, so they don't have a lot of comfort, whereas here, like you said, they're welcome to use this big camp kitchen and have a hot shower.
That's right.
And you've got washing machines if they need to do some laundry. Washing machines, of course, they're coin-operated.
That's right, yeah.
And your showers are coin-operated as well.
Showers are coin-operated.
Coin-operated. Yeah. But they're, what, $1, $2?
Yeah, $1 for 2 minutes, but it's just to cover the cost of our water. We don't have mains water here, so we buy the water and buy the gas, and that just covers the cost of the showers and the washing machines.
More than reasonable, mate. Now, tell me, I've seen a few people with dogs. It's obviously a dog-friendly park.
It is.
Now, what's the rules with a dog-friendly? Because I travel with a dog myself, a little tiny fella, so he's not going to give us any headaches, but what's the rules? Is it just the normal stuff, on lead, or are they allowed off lead?
It is dogs on leads. If you've got a good dog, they're welcome to stay. If you've got a rowdy dog, they'll be asked to leave.
Yep.
So pretty much common sense. And if you've got a nice little dog that wants to wander around and mind his own business, he's welcome to be off his lead and have a wander around.
Fantastic. Because there is a bit of wildlife roaming around here.
There is.
And naturally, you wouldn't want a big dog out there chasing down kangaroos or possums.
Oh, that's right. And we've got a dog-friendly beach only 5 minutes down the road.
Okay.
And there's 80 acres of bush hill up there. You can walk the dogs around.
Absolutely brilliant. I can't imagine something like this because, I mean, I found this on Wikicamps. Do you do a lot of advertising or is it only on Wikicamps? Because how would people normally find you? We found it on Wikicamps, but
yeah, mostly it was word of mouth.
Yep.
People come and they put a post on Facebook and it goes to their friends and their friends. And
Yeah,
we have Wikicamps and Camps Australia is another one of our good ones.
Yes.
And that's about the only 12 put it on and away it went.
And you're doing really well.
Yeah, it goes really well.
Fabulous. Now, I also found out a little bit earlier this afternoon, you've actually got a couple of, they're like a motel-type room, really, isn't it? You've got a bed in there, and are they for hire as well? How does that work?
Yeah, just a couple of little cabins over there.
Yeah, a couple of little cabins, just very basic facilities.
Very basic. You still have to use the camp amenities and everything, but they've just got beds in there.
Yep.
Most people bring their own bedding because they like their own bedding. And
so you got it all covered. I mean, and we've got everything out there from a swag to a fifth wheeler. And caravans, motorhomes, whiz bangers, a lot of variety of a lot of different people, big broad spectrum of people, from older people down to kids with families. You got the play area out there for all the kids to play on too.
Yeah, she's full at the moment.
She's full at the moment, yeah. So that's great, mate. Look, I've got to say, I think it's great, and I don't really think you're going to need too much advertising to keep this place going. Like, you're open all year round?
Open
all year round, mate. And also, I want to make mention that you also can buy wood here because everybody gets a fire pit. Is that right?
Yeah, it's fire pits around free, and we sell the firewood.
And I'm talking about a decent lump of firewood here, people. Okay, it's not a 5 kilogram bag from Bunnings. You get a fair chunk of wood off the back of your ute for $30.
Yeah, you get your money's worth.
You definitely get your money's worth. There's a couple of days wood in that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Definitely. Fantastic. Well, there you go, listeners. If you're interested, the place is called Eldy. It's near Carlton.
Carlton, yeah.
And just around the area, if they need shops and facilities, how far will they need to drive?
15 minutes to Sorrel for supermarkets and doctors and chemists and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
40 minutes to Port Arthur, 20 minutes to Richmond.
Yep.
Yep, so it's pretty central to everything. 20 minutes to the airport.
20 minutes to the airport. You're really well situated, because I've got to tell you, listeners, if you're here, you could be in the middle of nowhere. get your only 15 minutes to a chemist and a butcher shop.
I think that's why we get so many locals from 10 minutes down the road come up and camp, because they could be a million miles away, but they're only 10 minutes from home.
It feels like a million miles away, with the exception of yourself, because when you met us, you greeted us as we came in, introduced yourself. You've been nothing but fantastic to help us out. And I just think you're doing a fantastic job, mate. I want to see a lot more people come and pay you a visit. Thank you so much for your time, Mick. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries, Phil. Thank you very much for that.
Now, mate, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but I always finish each segment with an Australian song. Have you got a famous Australian singer or band that you like?
I'd like Johnny Williamson, True Blue, I think.
Johnny Williamson's True Blue, mate. You look like a True Blue Aussie to me. You're wearing your dry as a bone. It's been a bit wet out there, but you've been running around, gathering wood, getting the fire ready for the happy hour. Even the weather hasn't slowed you down. Mate, I don't know where you get the energy, I've got to tell you. Johnny Williamson's Hey True Blue.
Hey True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker, and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Give it to me straight, face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or will she be right? True Blue, I'm asking you. Hey True Blue, can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. And be fitting. Is your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care? Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when she's in a fight? Or will she be right? True Blue, I'm asking you. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or will she be right? True.
7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. This is Roman Oz, and we're at that segment again, and we're speaking again with Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight. Now, what's the topic for this week, Jeff? What have we got up your sleeve today?
Well, Phil, when we were talking off air, you mentioned that you've seen a few fifth wheelers on the road for travels.
Yes, indeed.
So I thought we'd just touch on fifth wheelers and how they're different to caravans.
Fantastic. Fantastic, mate. You know what? You must have been reading my mind, because I was going to ask you if we could bring it into the program at some stage. And great stuff. Great stuff, because there are more and more of these vehicles appearing on the road. So tell us as much as you can about fifth wheelers. Do you weigh them, firstly?
Look, Phil, I haven't weighed very many. I think I've weighed three.
Okay.
When I've weighed over 500 caravan and vehicle combinations, three is a pretty small number.
Yep.
So I'm not going to profess to be an expert on fifth wheelers. And there's definitely pluses and minuses for fifth wheelers.
Yep.
But the few that I have weighed were a bit interesting from that point of view.
Okay. Interesting in what sense? Because I'm always, if we're talking a truck, are we talking, when you say fifth wheelers, because I've seen different combinations of fifth wheelers. I've seen people with a truck, and I've seen probably more with a ute style vehicle that's still got that same hitch on it. So you're talking interesting as in people that are trying to drag a fifth wheeler with a ute or a truck. What do you mean?
Look, I just think it was what happened was that you can't call it a tow ball weight, but it's the hitch weight.
Yes.
Was a lot higher than they anticipated.
Okay.
And if you if you're not aware of what a fifth wheeler is, it's more like a semi trailer setup.
It is. Yes.
excuse me. But it does give you some inherent better stability than towing the a caravan.
Yep.
You've got the weight, instead of the weight of the tow ball impacting on the tow bar behind the axle of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The hitch is over or just in front of the rear axle of the vehicle.
Right.
So we don't have that multiplication, that 1.5 times that I've referred to before.
Okay.
If you've got a tow ball weight of 300, you're putting 450 on the rear axle.
Yes.
However, what I found was those two or three that I've weighed, that the hitch weight was way, way heavier than what the clients anticipated it being. In actual fact, one of them was about 650 kilos.
Wow.
He was towing it with a Ford F-250, I think it was.
Okay.
And to get the weight of the hitch, because, you can't just use a tow ball weigher because it's so high, we weighed the vehicle unhitched and weighed the vehicle hitched. So that gives us our actual weight.
Okay.
So does that make sense?
It does. I'm a little confused, though, because, you always sort of estimate that your ball weight, if we're speaking of a caravan, is around about 10% of what the caravan weighs, don't you? So if you've got a 3-ton caravan, the rule of thumb is your tow ball is going to be somewhere around 300. Is that correct? Which puts 450 onto your rear axle.
Yep.
So if you've got a fifth wheeler that has, a GVM of 3,500, why would you have, say, was that a really heavy rig that guy was pulling with 600 or?
Yeah. Well, all of fifth wheelers tend to be heavy. There's no small fifth wheelers that I've seen.
Okay.
they're all pretty up there in, the 3-ton, 3.5-ton.
Okay.
Or more.
But if you've got a 3.5-ton caravan, for example, or a fifth wheeler, I keep saying caravan, fifth wheeler,
yep.
Would it be fair to say that a guesstimate would be 350 on that hitch point on the back of the truck, or no?
I think that's probably what people do estimate, but yep. In the couple that I've done,
yes.
It's not. It's much heavier.
And I guess this is the confusing part, because if you get a fifth, okay, if you get a fifth wheeler that's 4 ton, you still shouldn't end up with 600 on the hitch point, should you? Well, was it the way he had it loaded? What was the actual reason for that?
Well, if you look at a the profile of a fifth wheeler, the yep. wheels are well set back.
They are.
Then all your storage is in the front.
Okay. So, yes.
Yeah. So it's naturally going to be heavy at the front.
Okay.
And when you the same thing as you look at a compliance plate and might say 300 hitch or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All your storage is in the front under the bed, in the box under the bed, things yep. like that.
Yes.
So again, you need to be pretty aware of how much weight you're putting where. And what effect is that is having on the vehicle? Because if your hitch is 600, then it's no real difference from a tow ball weight, although it will be inherently more stable than what a caravan would be.
More stable, yeah. But at the end of the day, if he was using an F250, was he in trouble? Was it like he's overweight, or what was the end result to that chap? Because, I mean, an F250, that's a big rig in itself.
Yeah, the problem with the F250s, it's another probably podcast, but or interview, is that they don't have a big payload because they're downgraded so that you don't need a light rigid license.
Okay.
But the benefit, I suppose, is that you don't then have a whole heap of gear loaded into the tray of the vehicle.
Okay.
So you're not adding all that weight as well mm-hmm. to the rear axle
mm-hmm.
because with a fifth wheeler, you've got that hitch arrangement, so you don't get to use the tray as storage.
Okay, so the tray of the, and an F250's got a mighty big tray.
Yeah.
And you're saying that pretty much all that space is unusable because of the weight of the hitch on the F250.
It's the space you need. You can't put a whole.
You can't put a whole leap in it, no, because you need that turning area, don't you?
Yeah. So that's one of the disadvantages of a fifth wheeler. But inherently, they are more stable. And when you talk to people who tow with a fifth wheeler, they love them.
Okay.
Because they are more stable, but you've got more storage in the caravan, so you've got to be aware of your weight limits in the caravan. Because that's where you're putting everything, because you don't have available in the vehicle.
And the thing with the fifth wheelers too is that they are really a house on wheels. And I mean, their water tanks, their water holding capacity is much greater than a caravan. And you've got this massive black tank for your black water that you don't have in a caravan. You've only got those tiny little cassettes for the for the toilet. Whereas most fifth wheelers have probably got 100 liters of holding capacity for the black tank, wouldn't they?
I'm not sure, but they're all different, but they're a much bigger rig.
Yep.
And designed for a different purpose, really.
Yes, indeed. But they are becoming more and more popular. I did see a guy towing a fifth wheeler, and I'm not sure if we've mentioned this earlier in any of our chats, but the guy was actually towing it with an old fire engine. And it yes, he was parked in the showground. I'm trying to think where it was. And he had an old fire engine, so he had, and he was carrying 2,000 litres of water in the fire engine. And he had this massive black tank on the back of the old fire engine that he used to pump his black out, because obviously if he was staying somewhere for a prolonged period, he would pump it off the fifth wheeler into the tank on the back of the fire engine and then drive the fire engine to the dump point. So it was a massive setup. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But he said he bought that thing. He was an ex-truck driver, and he said, look, it's great that these people have all this towing capacity, but the one thing that 90% of people don't even bother to take into consideration is their stopping capacity. You'll get somebody with a 3.5-ton caravan and they're pulling it behind your Land Cruiser. with absolute, and it pulls it with like with no effort. You know, they're great to tow, but then the old truck driver fellow with the fire engine said, "Yeah, fabulous," but then you've got to try and stop the blasted thing in an emergency situation.
Yeah.
And this is where these things do come unstuck. You know what I mean? So he said, "I never have an effort stopping any of this with a fire engine." So, yeah, bit extreme, but at least he knew he was going to travel in comfort, not have any effort, no issue, no nothing out there. You know what I mean? So,
it probably had a fair bit of water tank capacity on the fire engine as well.
Well, he did. He had 2,000 liters. That's what I said. He had these two tanks that just came with the old X fire engine, and that was 2,000 litres of water. So he's never going to run out of water, that's for sure. Okay, so anything else about the fifth wheeler, Jeff, that you want to mention? Because we've never discussed fifth wheelers before, and I think they are an important vehicle to mention, because there are more and more people now travelling on the road, living on the road, which is why I'm seeing more fifth wheelers, because they are so comfortable. You can live in these things. You've got a slide out, and it is. It's like a small house on wheels.
Absolutely. And I think, they are, from what I've been told, inherently more stable.
Okay.
And you have more room.
Yes.
Just, be aware that what is on the compliance plate about the hitch weight will be dramatically increased. So go back to, thinking about where you're going to store things and how that's going to affect the weight.
Uh-huh.
Like any normal caravan, be aware of what you pack.
That's the most important thing, isn't it? And I suppose people thinking, hey, I've got a fifth wheeler, I've got an F-250, I can put 10 tons of rubbish in here that I'm never going to use, but not the case.
No, and I think, I wrote a blog about Rams, and, I really think the only way a Ram 1500 can comfortably tow 4.5 tons is if it's in a fifth wheel situation.
Okay.
Because if you watch, there's a TV program called Heartland that is all about horses in Canada.
Yes.
And we were watching that when I first started this weighing gig, and every single F-250 or Ram 1500 is towing horses. Yep. It's all fifth wheels in Canada.
Okay.
So it's very, very few were towing normal horse floats.
Okay.
And they were having, 3 or 4 horses in these big horse floats. So if you're looking at towing with a fifth wheeler, make sure that you get the vehicle that's appropriate for it as well.
Okay, fabulous. All right, there you go, listeners. Fifth wheelers, make sure you get the appropriate vehicle. Don't just go out and buy yourself a BT50 and get one of those things modified, because you might find yourself in all worlds of trouble. How can we end this segment today, Jeff?
How about we have a song?
Absolutely. We always have a song. They've got to be Aussie. You know the drill now.
Oh, well, I'll be getting pretty good at it by now.
Oh, absolutely. So what's your favourite song for today, for the fifth wheeler?
Well, because we were talking about fifth wheelers and a lot of fifth wheelers, horse floats.
Yes.
I thought we'd have The Horses by Darryl Braithwaite.
Ah, fabulous choice. The Horses. How appropriate. Fifth wheelers pulling horse floats. There you go, listeners. Jeff, thank you so much for your time today, mate. And you stay safe.
Thanks, Phil. Travel safe and enjoy.
There you go, listeners. Stick around for Darryl Braithwaite's The Horses, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Situation should keep us separated. You know the world won't fall apart, and you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart. Can't you hear her? She cries so loud, has to over water and cloud. That's the way it's gonna be. even then, whisper the wind, and she will carry up your right. I hear all the people of the world, in one bird's lonely cry. See them trying every way they know how to make their spirit fly. Can't you see him? He's down on the ground, so broken wing, looking all around. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. You go riding on the horses, yeah, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. Oh, and if you fall, pick you up, pick you up. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. You go riding on the horses, yeah, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. And if you fall, pick you up, pick you up.
That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. You go riding on the horses, yeah, yeah. Way up the sky, little darling.
Don't you worry about it, baby.
And if you fall, I'll pick you up.
G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz and I am chatting with a lovely English lady who goes by the name of Carol, who's travelling alone with a fifth wheeler. How are you today, Carol?
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I was absolutely jaw-smacked when I saw you bring this huge rig into the caravan park, because we're actually at Longford and you've got this very large unit. It's an Iveco flatbed truck, a dual cab, and which is a 6-speed manual. First of all, tell us about the truck. How do you like driving it?
I wish it was automatic.
Okay.
But no, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You don't mind driving a manual?
It hurts my knees sometimes, but yeah.
Okay. And you've got a fifth wheeler in tow.
Yes.
So all up, you're around about 14 metres long.
Yes.
And the fifth wheeler weighs just under 4.5 tonne, and your truck's just under 4.5 tonne. So you can do all this on a car driver's licence.
Yes.
Before you got this fifth wheeler, did you have any experience driving anything as large?
No.
Not at all?
No, I just had caravans.
Okay, so you started out with caravans.
Yep.
Okay. What made you choose a fifth wheeler?
I've always wanted one, and a friend, turned up at one of the parks and he had one, and I said, oh, I've always wanted one. And he said, go for it. He said, they're easier to drive, they're safer. Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
You used to have a caravan before.
Yep.
So you think this is easier to drive?
Yes.
Okay, this is interesting, because it weighs like it's almost 9 tonne.
Yep.
Whereas your car and your caravan would probably be. What sort of car and caravan did you have?
I had a Nissan Pathfinder and a Jayco Sterling.
Okay.
Van.
So a much smaller unit.
Mm.
So why did you want a fifth wheeler? I mean, they're like a house on wheels. I can understand why you want all this space, and I guess it's like a house on wheels. But is that the only reason you wanted lots of room?
Because I'm living in it permanently.
You're living in it?
Yeah.
How long have you been living in it, Carol?
Since I got it a year ago, October, so yeah.
Okay. So you have no fixed address. You're travelling and you're just virtually going where your heart and the wind takes you.
Yes.
Wow. This is amazing because I speak with ladies who travel alone, but they're travelling in cars and caravans or motorhomes. I've never seen a lady, because when you pulled in, I thought, wow, a fifth wheeler. And then I saw you hop out of the cab and I'm thinking, okay, she's just driven it in. Hubby's going to get out in a moment. But you're on your own.
I'm on my own, yeah.
And you're living on the road.
Living on the road, yeah.
That's amazing. Why are you doing that? Is it by choice or?
Yeah. I did have a house and I sold that last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just going to go wherever wherever the mood takes you. So you're currently in Tasmania and you've had it for just over a year, about 16, 18 months. You're still in Tasmania. Have you taken it across to the mainland or no?
It went across to and was shipped up to me in Port Macquarie. Okay. And then I drove it back from Port Macquarie through the middle, through to Canberra, down to Melbourne and then across, and been in Tassie since June last year.
So how'd you go putting it on the spirit?
Beautiful.
You had no problem?
No, and in fact they actually said, oh, you've surprised us how well you drive it.
So you didn't sort of see the walls starting to close in on you as you go down into the wherever they made you park and you think, oh my gosh, it's getting to the walls are getting close. Everything's closing in on me. No,
no, I was first on for that part. Okay, I was in with the freight. Okay, freight trucks.
Yep. Wow, I'm amazed. So when you bought it, because you said you bought it to me before we started this conversation, you said you bought it sight unseen.
I did.
So you had some photographs of
yes,
obviously, and you said your son had a look at it, and he said, "Yeah, Mum, this is a good unit. It's worth buying." When it arrived in Port Macquarie, which is where you used to live.
In the caravan park, in my caravan.
Okay, so you lived in a caravan, in the caravan park, and then this thing showed up. Where did it show up in Port Macquarie? Was it delivered to the caravan park?
Yep, and he reversed it in for me and then went.
And then did you look at it and go, oh, my God, what have I done?
I did.
Okay, so initial shock, how did you feel when you saw this thing getting backed in? Did you think, whoa, this is too big, why did I do this?
No, I actually paid a truck driving school to come to the park and he took me around and around in the park and we reversed all around.
So you had lessons?
I had a lesson.
You had some lessons to drive it and to reverse it and so on and so forth. Well, that was a smart thing to do.
Yes.
Okay. So since you've had some lessons, you've obviously driven it, like you said, you've taken it back from Port Macquarie and you drove it through Canberra. And Canberra's a nightmare. I'm shaking my head, listeners, in disbelief. I hate going through Canberra. So you didn't have any issues in traffic?
No.
Cars on either side of you not thinking, oh.
No.
You just use those side mirrors.
Yep. And I have the
a reversing camera
on the rear. And there's a camera on the back of the truck as well.
On the back of the truck. So the camera on the back of the truck, is that for you to be able to reverse it on to hitch it up? So how do you go hitching it up?
Easy.
No problem.
When that's fine. I can do that now. I know where it has to be and
so something about the way they've got your reversing camera set up, so you know when you go back so far, oh, that's as far as I need to go back.
And I know on the levels
where
it has to sit for me to be able to get it on.
Get it on.
Yeah.
And then just push the arm through and lock the pin in and away you go. I'm absolutely jaw smacked. I mean, when I saw you coming in, there were a lot of fellas out here. Do you ever feel like I've got an audience? They're all watching me. I'm a lone female traveller driving this 14-metre rig. Do you ever feel a bit nervous about parking it? Because everybody wants to come out and look. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're driving a car in a caravan or if you're like fifth wheel, whatever, motorhome. Everybody seems to want to look and see how good you are. Do you ever feel nervous about that? Like
sometimes
you're going to muck it up?
Yeah, and today I felt a bit overwhelmed. That's why got some help,
But that's okay. But normally you would park it yourself?
Yeah, normally.
And no issues?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had a situation where you thought, oh, I can't get in there? Why are they putting me in such a tight little spot?
No, because I always tell them I'm a big rig and I need you know, to be able to drive through ones are the best.
Ideally, a drive through is what you want.
Yeah.
So you've never actually, obviously, you're smart enough to ring up in advance and say, look, I'm 14 metres long, I'm travelling by myself, can you give me a drive through? That's ideal. But have you ever had one where it's like, well, there it is, back it in, see you later, or
no,
they're so, always they always come accommodate you,
or somebody around will,
or somebody will help you with it.
Yeah, even here today, the fella at the office said, if you can't find someone, come back and I'll lock up and come and help you.
Oh wow, fabulous! Mm. But you don't often need that.
No.
How do you go driving it on the road? Like when you're out on the highway, we've established that you have no problem in traffic. What about when you're out there on the highway and big trucks come thundering past you and things of that nature?
That's fine. And I sometimes let them know that they can overtake. And
So you've got a UHF in the truck? No?
No, I couldn't cope with one of them.
Oh, no? Okay. All right. So you just
That's another thing to handle.
Another. So you don't have a UHF. So how do you let them know? What do? Give them a blinker sign or something? Okay.
The illegal blinkers.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you're not supposed to do that, Carol.
I know.
But you only do that with trucks or with cars or with anybody?
Anybody.
Just to stop them from being stuck behind.
Yeah.
So what sort of speeds?
I used to pull over.
Yep.
But then I'm going into the gutters and stuff, and I'm thinking, well, why should I?
Yeah.
I'm entitled to be on the road, so they can just wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're out in the open road, like what sort of speeds do you average?
80 to 90. Yeah.
Okay. Now being such a large rig, how do you go? Because you're in Tasmania.
Yeah.
Tasmania is very steep,
yep.
Very narrow on the roads. What sort of speeds are we averaging going up hills?
Not very fast. Today was around 40.
40 going up the hills.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's understandable. It's a big rig. The roads are narrow. They're windy. So do you think if you could get an automatic, you'd swap tomorrow? Or?
No, probably because I know they burn out.
Yeah.
That would burn out.
Pulling out, because there's a lot of weight there.
Yeah.
And I mean, the manual is definitely the way to go if you can cope with it. So what about hill starts and stuff? Have you ever, because I remember a couple of years ago when we came to Tassie, we were in our caravan and they made me go up the ramp. So I was stopping every couple of metres. Any issues with hill starts? You roll back or you're just using your handbrake?
When I first got it, I left Port Macquarie and I did the wrong turn.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up on this really steep hill and it stalled.
Okay.
The truck doesn't like it going down into second if you're still going up a hill.
Yep.
So, and it kept stalling. Okay. And people were queuing up behind me. Yeah, but I managed to get it to
you
go.
You managed
again.
To get it to go. That was the main thing.
Yeah.
You managed to get it to go. Look, where are you likely to be going? Like, you're living on the road. You're in Tasmania at the moment. And have you got any plans?
Yep.
Where are you heading?
I'm heading back to Port Macquarie.
Okay.
Yep.
So when are you due to join the boat, the Spirit?
A week tomorrow.
A week. So what is that? That's
Monday the 27th.
Of February.
Yep.
Monday the 27th of February, you're heading back. Are you doing the night sail or the day sail?
Day sail.
Day sail.
Not done one of those before.
Okay. Yep. So how do you go driving in the night time? Obviously, you like to be off the road.
Oh, yeah. I don't. Yeah.
You don't
I
like
drive
to
just the truck, but not the...
Not the vehicle, vehicle not no. the not the trailer. So with a night sail, I suppose you're going to be still... It's still going to be daylight over here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't done any driving in the dark with the trailer on?
I won't, no.
You just don't want to do that?
No.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I like to get off the road as often as I can too. I don't like to travel at night time. So what about where you stay? Do you normally stay in caravan parks? Do you do any free camping?
Yeah, I do free camping, but it depends on what the area's like.
Okay.
Yeah, if I feel safer in a caravan park or...
Yep.
Yeah.
So travelling alone, have you done any free camping with this? Because it's a big rig, and I mean, you don't think, oh, what about if somebody tries to break into me truck or me caravan? Or, I guess you just common sense. You just make sure that if there's people there, you'll stay. If not, move on.
Yeah.
So the majority of your stays would be in caravan parks,
I
suppose. So that makes that makes good sense as well. So you've never had any issues?
No.
No. Never broken down? Never needed to change a wheel or anything? Or
not with this one, no. With the caravan I did. But, yeah, I've got roadside assist anyway, so.
Okay. So you have no issues hooking it up. You got roadside assist. You obviously wouldn't be too concerned if you needed to change a tyre on the fifth wheelie. You wouldn't be able to do that.
I could not even lift it.
No.
No. So, no, it'd be roadside assist.
Be roadside. There you go, ladies. Just make sure you get your roadside assist if you ever decide to buy yourself a fifth wheeler.
Yeah.
And you're just going to keep going.
Until I can't.
Until you can't.
And then I'll come back to Tassie and go to my son's block.
Okay. Yep. So how long do you sort of envisage living on the road? I'm not going to ask you your age. That's rude. That's none of my business. How long do you think you're going to be doing this for? 5 years, 10 years more?
Yeah, probably another five.
Another 5 years?
Yeah.
And then you'll just bring it back to Tassie
and that'd be
and
enough,
set it up as a home and live in it, I guess?
Yeah.
Because it's big enough.
Yeah.
Let's face it, you're one person. And a fifth wheeler, it's got everything in it.
Yep.
You don't need... Yep. Anything.
It comes. Because it has a slide out. If it didn't have a slide out, then I wouldn't. Yep. Yeah, it wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be big. As spacious.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a look. We're going to have a look in this fifth wheeler later, listeners. I'm also going to get a photograph of Carol standing in front of this monstrous great rig. And it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my dear.
Thank you.
You're the first lone female traveller driving a fifth wheeler. So when I saw you pull in, I thought, I have to talk to this lady. And would you recommend it for other ladies?
Yeah, if they're confident.
So you're pretty confident?
Yeah.
You'd have no fears, no second thoughts. No. Best thing you ever did, getting out of the caravan and into a fifth wheeler.
Yes. And they're a lot easier to hook up and unhook than trying to, get the caravan.
Jockey wheel and all that kind of. How long did you drive, how long did you tow a caravan for before you decided to get the fifth wheeler?
I had left Tassie the first time in September 18.
Yep.
And I'd never pulled a caravan in my life. And I left with the Bailey's caravan, the lightweight one.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And then I got the Jayco over in WA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you've done quite a bit of travelling by yourself with caravans.
Yeah.
And now you're hitting the road with the house on wheels.
Yep.
Fabulous. Fantastic. Well, I take my hat off to you.
Thank you.
I really take my hat off to you. I've never seen a female doing this, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I think if you can do that, good on you, and keep doing it for as long as you can.
I can. Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for chatting with us, Carol. I'm going to play your song now to wind this up. Do you have a favourite Australian artist, singer, band?
Yeah, Tina Arena.
Okay, Tina. Lovely little Tina. I love Tina myself. What about a favourite Tina song?
My husband makes movies.
Your husband makes movies?
Yeah.
Your husband should be here.
I haven't got one. I've been there, done that twice. No more.
No more. Okay. I was about to say, if there's any fellas out there who want to join a Carol on the road, but you're going to stay single for the rest of
your life. No, I've got the certificates. No, don't need any more.
Don't need any more husbands. And you've got a little travelling companion, a bird.
Yes.
Which you told me you got today.
Yes, I did.
So you've got a little travelling companion. So I guess, and it's the type of bird that does learn how to speak. So I guess if the next time we see you on the road, if this bird is swearing all over the place,
it won't be from me because I don't really swear.
Well, no, you've had some issues. All right, Carol. Well, thank you so much.
It's been
a pleasure chatting with you.
All right, thanks.
All right, listeners, we're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after Tina Arena's My Husband Makes Movies.
My husband makes movies. To make them, he lives a kind of dream in which his actions aren't always what they seem. He may be on to some unique romantic theme. Some men run banks, some rule the world, some earn their living baking bread. My husband, he goes a little crazy making movies.
spins fantasies. He lives them, then gives them to you all. Like Michelangelo, he paints his private dome that can't distinguish what's his work and what's his home. Some men punch clocks, some men sell stocks, some leap where others fear to tread. My husband, as author and director, makes up stories in his head. Guido Contini, Luisa Contini, number one genius and number one fan. Guido Contini, Luisa Contini, passionate woman in love with this man. Long ago, many years ago, once we two were. Guido Contini, Luisa, his lover, with dreams and a life of her own. Then they had no ends of world to discover, singing together all night on the phone. Long ago, someone else ago.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.